You know, all of us come here tonight for different reasons. Some of us came because we are part of a church family, and Christmas is for family, and we want to share Christmas together. Some of you came because it's the thing to do. It's Christmas Eve. It's traditional. You find a place to go, and that's good. Some of you came out of habit. Others maybe because a friend invited you, or maybe someone who really cares about you. But under it all, it could be that God brought you here to turn Christmas from something that's just traditional to something that really can be transformational. You might call it news you can use. One of my favorite news magazines used to be U.S. News and World Report, and a lot of people like that magazine because there's a section in it called News You Can Use. I don't want to waste your time or my time tonight, so we're going to talk about this. I want to get right to the point. I feel like the chicken that decided to lay an egg in the freeway. I don't know if you ever heard of him. That's what the rooster said. Here's how you do it. You lay it on the line, and you do it in a hurry. That's what I want to do tonight. Tonight I'd like to take a very simple look at Christmas by asking a question that you can't help but ask if you read the Christmas story, and that is this. What do you do when God ruins your plans? As he does with all of us. How you handle that is news you can use. Because we all go through it. What we celebrate tonight sounds, you know, idyllic. But in other ways, putting yourself in Mary and Joseph's shoes, it could have been, in fact, indeed it was at times, horrific. Especially to a typical pregnant mother. Not just giving birth in a stable with other animals. The whole story would have been. But it became transformational for them, as it can for us as well. Mary and Joseph were just a young couple. They were barely teenagers, and all they wanted to do was to get married and have little Marys and Josephs. And while they were preparing for the wedding, of course, during their engagement, all of a sudden, God comes along and says, I'm going to change that plan a bit. As we saw this morning, the angel said to Mary and Joseph, to both of them, the three things are going to happen. One, you're going to get pregnant before your wedding day. That's what he said to Mary. Two, it's not going to be Joseph who's the father. It's going to be a virgin birth. It's going to be a miracle, the likes of which has never, ever happened before. And three, by the way, the baby's going to be God. They weren't at all expecting that to happen, I would wager. And it went on to mess up their plans just a little bit. Has God ever ruined your plans? It's happened to many of you this year. Many of us have experienced this in many ways over the years, in serious as well as comical ways. I read about a woman in New York who took her son on a visit to Santa Claus to sit on his lap in the mall. And when she got there, she discovered that Santa Claus was her ex-husband. Who was not paying child support. I don't think he was planning on that. 3 hours later, she came back with a court injunction and handed it to him, and he wasn't going ho, ho, ho anymore. What do you do when God ruins your plans? Well, looking at Mary, as we do every year, you do three things, which I'd like to focus on tonight. The Bible says that God wants us to remember three things when he ruins our plans. Years ago, a man who's deeply impacted my ministry read the story of Mary and Joseph and concluded that you'd need to do three simple things in such situations. They're simple but profound. One, remember that he's trying to get your attention. When your life goes haywire, God is saying, hello, earth to Brian, like my wife Julie does to me on a regular basis. Two, remember that he has a different plan, one that's better. And then three, remember that in the meantime, he wants you to trust him. I think that's what God wants to say to us this Christmas. At least I know he does to me. First, God's trying to get our attention when he messes with our lives. In Mary and Joseph's case, the plan was so fantastic. It was so unbelievable. It was such, you know, a once in a history kind of event that God had to use supernatural means to convince them that it was really going to happen. They wouldn't have believed it in any other way. He sent an angel who said, this is what's going to happen. You're going to be the father of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And I'm God, and I'm coming to earth in a human form, and we're going to split history into A.D. and B.C. When things happen, God says, I just want you to listen to me. And I tell you, he got their attention, and that's an example for us. I've got something very important to say. Now that I've got your attention. Bible says we're all like sheep, and that's a hard thing even for God to do. Problem is, when it comes to listening to God, most of us are ADD, right? We got a kind of attention deficit disorder. We put them on call waiting, on hold. The phone's busy. We're so busy listening to TV or watching YouTube or text or Snapchat or Twitter or however we communicate, but we don't have time to listen to God. So God has to rearrange our plans to say, wake up. Let me get your attention. Like C.S. Lewis says, God speaks to us in our pleasures, but he shouts at us in our problems and in our pain. God says in Psalm 81:13, very simply, I wish my people would listen to me. So sometimes he has to mess up our circumstances to get our attention. But he does more than that. The second thing is this. When God ruins your plans, he's also saying, I've got a better plan. That is, when God says no, it always means there's a better yes, if we listen. It says in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans that I have for you, plans that are good plans for you, not plans to hurt you, that I will give you a hope and a good future. God's your creator, and he says, my plans are for good. A lot of people think if I really give my life to God, if I start, following Christ, he's going to make my life miserable. No fun, no parties, total boredom. I've got to be some kind of, become some kind of Amish person or Mennonite or something like that. But God says, no, you don't understand. I made you. I love you. I've designed you for a purpose on this earth that is exciting and fulfilling if you just listen. Yes, it's a better plan he has for you. Someone said that there are two major things that make his plans better. And it could hardly be simpler. First, his plans are bigger than your plans. God's plan for your life is always a bigger plan because he's got a bigger perspective. He's God. When you see life from his perspective, you'll see that he wants to do so much more. Mary and Joseph just wanted to get married and settle down and be a nice, happy little couple behind a white picket fence. And God said, I want to bless the world through you. If you don't get anything else I say, get this. God made you for a purpose. And you have no idea how much God wants to work through you, how much he could do through you if you were totally committed to his plan for your life rather than your little plan for your life. Your dreams, your ambitions, your goals. When he ruins your plans, it's a great opportunity to say, God, here I am. I'm totally available to you. Do with me whatever you want to do. That's what Mary said. Be it done unto me according to your word. You may feel that life's not worth living now that the dream is shattered. You would not believe what God wants to accomplish through you. His plans are better because his plans are always bigger. And second thing, looking at all that Mary and Joseph went through, is this. God's plan for your life is harder than your plan. That's why so many people cut out on him. It's human beings. It's human nature. It's our way to take the easy way out, to slide through life. The course of least resistance. But God says, I'm not saying it's going to be easier. In fact, my way is going to be harder. Why? Well, it's because, as someone said, he's more interested in your character than he is interested in your comfort. He wants you to grow up. He wants us all to be mature. He wants you to be a person of character and of integrity and to take responsibility. He wants you to be a sinner saved by grace for an eternal purpose. And when that happens, he is in no way going to take all the problems out of your life. If you had all the problems removed from your life, just like with me, you'd be a spoiled brat. Believe me, I'd be that too, because we're selfish, we're sinners by nature, just like a little child. If you got your way at everything, you'd be spoiled. Nobody could live with you. God says, yeah, that's why it's going to be harder. When Mary and Joseph said, okay, God, we're going to cooperate with your plan. Use us. Do you think it was easy? It wasn't easy for Mary to say, okay, I'm going to be an unwed mother. And they were calling her a harlot 30 years later after Christ entered his ministry. She never outlived that. That was hard in that day. Can you imagine the gossip that went on in those days? And who's going to believe her story? It's God that did it? Yeah, right, Mary. And that was just the beginning of all that they went through, as we know. Yes, his way was harder, but it was so much bigger and better. Deep down, because character is better than gold. And that's why the third thing that God says is this: when I mess up your life, not only am I trying to get your attention, not only do I have a different plan that's better, when I mess up your plans, third, I want you to trust me. Can you imagine the faith it took for Joseph to do what he had to do? If your fiance, you know, came to you one day and said, honey, I'm pregnant, and by the way, it's God's fault, would you believe that story? The Bible tells us that Joseph didn't, and he was going to put her away privately. He was going to call off the engagement until God sent an angel to say, she's right, it's okay. Can you imagine the faith that Mary had to have when she realized that of all the women in the entire world, God chose her as the instrument by which he would come to save the world, to save you and me to this day? God's plan was so different from their plan for their life, and all they could do was to trust him. And it became true. Sound familiar? Ever felt that way? Some of you are saying that right now, or maybe you should be. All I can do is trust him. That's my last resort. He'll come through if you do. That's okay to say that. In fact, that's great, because the Bible says there is only one way to please God. It's not by religion. It's not by ritual. It's not by ceremony. It's not by a bunch of regulations. No, Hebrews chapter 11 tells us that the only way to please God is there's just one way, and that is without faith, it is impossible to please God. God wants you to learn to trust him, just like they did. Every time he ruins your plans is a test that can be transformational. And how do you pass the test? Well, remember three things. He wants to get your attention. He wants you to believe that he's got a better plan. And in the meantime, he wants you just to trust him. Father, I just pray, especially for those here tonight who have never trusted you, who you have allowed to get to the end of themselves maybe this year so that they can find you for the first time. I pray that you would have gotten their attention tonight, and that they would see that you have a better plan for them than to run their lives on their own. Thank you that Jesus Christ came, was born to die for their sins so they could come to him and ask him in and trust him to run their lives in a bigger and better way than they could ever have managed on their own. Help them to do that right now. And then, Father, we thank you for the missionaries that we'll be supporting tonight with the offering that we'll be taking. Thank you that they've trusted you and that they've done it with such reckless abandon for the sake of your kingdom. Just like Mary and Joseph, help us to be a part of proving that you are true. Thank you for all that Mary and Joseph sacrificed. Thank you for how much these missionaries, the Ransoms and the Cordomanches, have sacrificed. We pray that this sacrificial offering would be transformational for them as they receive it, and transformational for us as we give it. We pray in Jesus' name.